this special extended podcast for the complete service
for Sunday the 23rd of August.
Due to the restrictions on public worship across the Church of England, we are live streaming our services on Facebook for the foreseeable future. You can join us each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. without needing to be signed into Facebook. We'll be posting that necessary link along with other resources at www.stpeters.co/sermons. You may want to go and download the material to follow along this service and participate more fully. We compiled this podcast to enable those who are unable to join us live to worship in their own homes. We've also now added a complete video recording of the service, which you can access by visiting the sermon section of our website and selecting the date of the service you want to watch. This began on Sunday the 3rd of May.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our online worship here at St. Peter's Church. I hope that you've all been able, whilst we've been waiting, to get onto our website for the resources which you will need for today's service, most particularly for the the service sheet, which you can have downloaded and printed or just have open up in a window next to you. That will have all the liturgy and the song words, although the song words are also on the screen. So I hope that will help you. And there's also some instructions for some activities a little later on for anyone who wants to participate in those, but particularly the children. We are continuing on in Matthew's Gospel. We've taken a bit of a break in Acts of the Apostles just for the summer, and we've been blessed to have some members of the senior staff of the diocese coming and preaching for us. Well, not obviously coming because it's all recorded, but recording some sermons for us. And today is no different. We've got Mark Cocaine from the diocese preaching with us. For those of you who haven't been around for the last 2 weeks, I am not live, although I'm going to be recording it as if it is live, so it feels sort of live-ish, but I am currently, whilst you're watching this, I am currently leading a service in church for those who've gathered in person there to worship. So we are worshipping together, even though we're not in the same place. So it's really good just to start our service with that sort of mindset, to remember that there are people from our church community gathering together in St. Peter's Church to worship the same God at the same time as us. So we stand and or sit with them in prayer. So we're going to begin with that sort of bringing our minds into that place and our hearts into it to receive from the same Spirit, the same teaching that the Lord wants to give to us as one church family. So we come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. So let's worship God together with this song.
Come and stand before your Maker, full of wonder, full of fear. Come behold his power and glory, yet with confidence strong near. For the one who holds the heavens and commands the stars above is the God who bends to bless us within unrelenting love.
Mercies of your King.
Jesus carried up the hill. He has walked this path before us. He is walking with us still. Turning tragedy to triumph. Turning agony to praise. There is blessing in the battle. So take heart and stand amazed. Rejoice when you cry.
As God's people, we have gathered. We come as we are. We will leave changed by the love of God. And have our first Bible reading, which is familiar to us here at St. Peter's, as it's a reading that we constantly return to. The Lord continues to bring this up. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. So I'm going to read this to us. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, for these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is from Matthew's gospel, Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. Alleluia, alleluia. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. Alleluia. Children, if you're not around the screen or not listening in, then you might want to come and just listen to this Bible reading so that you know a little bit about what I'm talking about in a moment, so do gather round. When Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "What are people saying about me?" They replied, "Some think that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you are Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." He pressed them and said, "And what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus came back, "God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are, who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth, is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. He swore the disciples to secrecy. He made them promise they would tell no one that he was the Messiah. Then Jesus made it clear to his disciples that it was now necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, submit to an ordeal of suffering at the hands of the religious leaders, be killed, but then on the third day be raised up alive. Peter took him in hand, protesting, "Impossible, Master, that will never happen." But Jesus didn't swerve. "Peter, get out of my way, you Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works." Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You are not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I will show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? Don't be in such a hurry to go into business for yourself. Before you know it, the Son of Man will arrive with all the splendour of his Father, accompanied by an army of angels. You will get everything you have coming to you, a personal gift. This isn't pie in the sky by and by. Some of you standing here are going to see it take place. You're going to see the Son of Man in kingdom glory." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So, just checking where I am. Ah, yes. We're going to worship now. I'm going to sing a song about the beautiful name of Jesus. We're going to be thinking a little bit about identity, about who we are and who people say that we are and who does God say that we are. And who do we say that God is, etc. So we're going to worship and hopefully this song will lead us into a time of confession and into a time of reflection as well.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven. Sin was great, your love was greater. Oh, I could say. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is.
I'm going to move into a time of confession now. So this is where you might need your service sheet, because there are quite a lot of responses to this confession. So hopefully everyone can be involved in this. Lord, you call us to be your voices in this world, and we stay silent. You call us to be your hands in this world, and we keep them hidden. You call us to be your feet in this world, and we go our own way. When we meet those who are doubting and say nothing, forgive us. When we meet those who need your touch and do nothing, forgive us. When we are called to take up your cross and carry nothing, forgive us. Breathe life into these bones. Bring freedom to these lives, that we might declare with heart and soul and voice that you are our Lord and our God. Amen. We're going to celebrate our faith, that faith which leads us to know who Jesus is, to see who he really is. So we're going to worship with this song called This I Believe.
the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Come on!
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God.
So, children, do gather back round if you've if you're not already there. I've got something to be honest about. Really, I'm going to admit something to you. Over the last few weeks, particularly, but I think in life in general, I have found it very difficult to see what others see in me. What I mean by that is, often friends and family members that I trust or that know me well say things about me, describe me, give me an impression of what I'm like. And it's like they're talking about a different person. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where someone says something about you. Oh, you're good at this. Or I really like it when you do this. I think this is the kind of person that you are. And you kind of think, I don't feel that. I don't believe that that is who I am. They must be mistaken. Well, this is often how I feel when people say particularly nice things about me. It goes to show just what kind of a person I am. When people say nice things about me, I kind of just go, I don't know if that's true. Whereas when someone gives me a criticism, when someone complains about something that I've done or said or the kind of person that I am, I believe them. I'm going to go, yeah, that's right, actually, you know, I am I'm a terrible person. I'm a you know, grumpy person, whatever. I think it's perfectly normal to go through phases of this. Some of us stay in those phases longer than others. Today we hear this story where two people are telling one another what they are, what they're like, and who they are. And the first is Jesus. Jesus asks his friends, those people who've been around him for a number of years, asking them, what are people saying about me? What do they think about me? I don't know if you've ever dared ask someone, or you've ever overheard a conversation between other people, maybe at school or at work, and they're talking about you and they're saying things about you. It's a bit of a strange situation. You feel a bit like, oh, I shouldn't be listening, maybe. But I wonder what it is that they said to you. Well, Jesus is asking his friends, what are they saying behind my back? What do people really think about me? And so they tell him, they think you're great, Jesus. They think you're this great prophet, this person who has a good relationship with God, who's a faithful prayer, who says things which seem true. You're a good teacher. You're a nice person. This is what they're saying. And Jesus you know, it's not that it, he doesn't like compliments. I'm sure he loved compliments. But he says then, well, who do you say that I am? Okay, that's what other people are saying. People who don't really know me, they're talking behind my back. They're saying nice things. That's fine. But I really am interested in what you think, my friends, disciples. What do you say about me? And I can imagine there being a bit more of a silence than the Bible gives us in the story. It doesn't say, oh, and then there was this stony silence as people are like going, oh, what do we say? But Peter, being the kind of person that he is, steps up and says, we think that you're the Christ, the Messiah. This means the anointed one, the promised one, the person that God has been talking about for hundreds of years. We believe that you are sent by God, this person promised by God. We think that you are God. And not only that, Peter says, but we think that you are God's son, the son of God. Now, what does that mean, to be the son of God? Well, again, I don't know if any of you have had this, but I've had it a couple of times, particularly of, you are such and such a parent's son. Oh, you're acting so like your parent. You're so like your mum. You're so like your dad. We in this, in my family, have this saying, usually given by my mum, and she would used to say, mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my mother after all. And there have been times when I have found myself going, yes, I am my mother after all. And sometimes saying, oh, I am my father. I'm just acting like him or her. When we are someone's son or daughter, we take on some characteristics of them through our genetics, through our biology and what makes us, our chemicals in our body, but also through learnt behaviour. So to say that Jesus is the Son of God means that he has the characteristics of God. And Jesus says to him, not like I would say, oh, shucks, you know, you don't really mean that. That's what I would say. Jesus says, well done, Peter. That wasn't taught to you. You weren't told that that was who I was. You've not learnt that. That's a sort of, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I've got to believe that. I'm being forced to be told that, you know. No, Jesus says, you have been given that insight. Your eyes have been opened by my Father, by God himself. God has made you able to see who I really am. Not just this nice teacher, not just this prophet, not what all everyone else sees. You're seeing something particular and something special. God bless you. And then Jesus returns the favour. He says to Peter, or to Simon, as his name is, Simon, you are now going to be Peter. You are Peter, my rock. Peter, in the Greek, in this language, Peter means rock. I wonder what your name means. I wonder what your name means. You might want to investigate that. But here Jesus is saying, Simon, I'm going to call you Peter because you are a rock. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Upon this firm foundation, I am going to build my church. You might want to just have a look at these. This is what's called an icon. It's a special religious image of usually a person, and they're not just nice pictures to represent, not just the illustrations. Icons are there to help us to pray and to see things. It is often described as a window, and often made of reflective, usually gold, reflective materials, because it's a sort of mirror that we look at the image of usually a saint and we reflect upon it. I don't know if you've ever been told to reflect on something. Usually we mean to think about something, but also reflections are also in a mirror. So in icons, we are told to reflect upon the life of this saint, or the image of this saint, and also to, not only to think about it, but also to try and reflect, like a mirror, to imitate and to reflect back the image that we see. So here is Peter. We've got some other pictures of Peter. I just want you to take in everything that you notice about this image. What does it teach us about Peter? This one, oh, it's a bit small. Let me zoom in. A bit pixelated, I'm afraid. When you look at it, you're meant to be reflecting on the person of Peter, the image of Peter. And here, finally, this is on a wall, I think in Jerusalem. Again, reflection. You can see the reflective material of the gold. All of these images had something in common, something that we were being asked to reflect on, and that was the keys. We heard Jesus talk about the keys. He said to Peter and to the rest of the disciples, from now on, now that you have seen this, nothing is closed to you. I am giving you the keys that are going to open every door of insight. In our reading particularly, it says, keys to open any and every door. No more barriers will there be between heaven and earth and heaven. A yes in heaven is a yes on earth. A no on earth is a no in heaven. These things that the disciples now have the ability to see, looking at the world, to be able to unlock where heaven is. They're going to be given the keys. And Peter is often pictured and imaged with keys around his neck or in his hands. So the next time you look at an icon and you see one of those special pictures, usually if there's keys in it, it means that it's Peter. And if you see, when you go around churches or cathedrals, if you see keys as an image, usually crossed keys, then it means that the church is dedicated to St. Peter, or that symbol represents St. Peter. And we are to reflect that. We too are to be the rock on which Jesus builds his church. We also are to reflect that ability to be able to say, to be able to see heaven in earth, to see heavenly things in earthly things. But that's just the images of saints, but there's also the more important icons that you might want to look at are ones of Jesus. Here's a mixture of lots of different icons of Jesus. Most iconographers want to have an image of Jesus, and rightly so. And we are to look at the pictures of Jesus. Here's another one, similar one, with different images of Jesus. You may want to find a picture of Jesus and reflect upon what it teaches us about him. And also to try and reflect that image in the world. We are to try and be image bearers of God, to reflect Jesus into the world. That is who we are meant to be. When people look at you, they are meant to not only just say, oh, you're a nice person, you're a kind person, oh, you're a clever person, oh, you're a considerate person, all those sorts of things. Although those are good things, what we really should be looking at is when people look at us, they should say, you're like Jesus. Now, that's a tall ask, isn't it? That's a big thing to be asked to reflect on. I wonder how we might do that. Just out of interest, last week we did a quiz of Spot the Difference. Do you remember? We did a lot of Spot the Differences, and we were trying to discern the unique things in a class of four. Well, oops. Sorry, bring it up here. Here we go. Here's another one. But this one is not Spot the Difference. This one is, what is the similarity? What unites these four images together? A heart, a lamb, a gate, and a cross. Not what Spot the Difference, but what unites these things. You might want to be writing in the comments section, children, if you can identify it. We are often described in many different ways. Peter here is seen as a rock. It's also seen with the image of the keys. Peter is also seen often with a scroll as the teacher. He was also the first pope, so he's often seen with a mitre. There's also a symbol of an upside-down cross for Peter, because that's supposedly after the New Testament was finished, when Peter was crucified, he didn't feel himself worthy to be crucified like Jesus, so he asked to be crucified upside down so that he could not be seen as on par with Jesus. So I wonder if you've got this question right. What is the thing that unites us? Of course, these are all images used to describe Jesus. He's often described as the source of love. Some images of him with sacred heart, which means this heart that bleeds for his people. A lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God sacrificed for us. And he describes himself as a gate. And of course, the cross, the way of salvation and healing. Jesus also uses many other images to describe himself. We are to reflect all of these things. That is what people are meant to see in Jesus. So we're going to now listen to Mark. But whilst Mark does that, hold on, I'm just going to plug myself in because I'm about to run out of battery. So bear with me. Sorry about that. Recorded as live for you. We're going to listen in a moment to a sermon from Mark Cocaine. But children, I want you to, and adults, whilst he's speaking, but children, whilst Mark is speaking and the next song is on, I want to set you a challenge. And this is where you'll need your paper and your pens and perhaps access to the internet if you wish. What I want you to do is I want you to draw, as best you can, a self-portrait. Okay, I want you to draw a self-portrait, but not just what you see, but also, like an icon, you might want to surround that image with things that you would like to be reflected into the world. Okay, what kind of characteristics, what kind of personality, what do you want to be remembered for? What do you want people to see in you? And maybe if you struggle with that, like I do, like I said at the beginning, maybe you want to draw or to put symbols around of things that people have seen in you. Good things that people have said about you. Those things that people say, you're really good at that. Or I like it when you do that. Even if you don't believe they're true, what are the good things that people have spoken over you? What kind of things do you aspire to be? What do you want to be seen as? You might want to choose an image that is ascribed to Jesus, that you want to reflect Jesus in some way. And I want you to draw this self-portrait, how you want people to see you. And then underneath, I want you to write, I am an image of God. I am the image of God. Now, that may not be true perfectly. None of us are pure images of God. We don't reflect God well into the world, but we do want to be images of God. We want Jesus and God to look at us and to say, yes, you are one with me. So I'm going to set you off to do that. I would love, once you've finished, for your parents or yourself to take a photo of that and send that in to me. Either via email or Facebook, whichever way you want to share that. I would love to see those. And I would love to show those next week with the rest of the congregation. So please do go off and draw, spend some time thinking about what it is that you want God to grow in you, that God you want to reflect of God into the world, and draw a self-portrait of that, reminding yourself to be such a reflection of God. The rest of us, we're going to listen to Mark Cocaine now.
I I've had some songs running through my mind as I prepared this sermon. And it wouldn't bless you if I sang them to you, I'm sure. But you might recognise some of them by a few lines. I can see clearly now. The rain has gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Or a couple of Christian songs. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. And John Newton's famous Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Then there are those optical illusions. I'm sure that you've all seen them. Like the one where on first appearance it looks like you're looking at a vase. But as you gaze more closely, the faces of two people appear. And once you've seen it, from then onwards, your way of seeing things has been changed forever. And that's what's going on in the gospel reading this morning for Peter. He sees Jesus for who he truly is, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds by calling Peter the rock, a pun on his name, Petrus. And then he promises him to use him as a foundation stone on which to build his church. And yet, if you read on just a few verses later in Matthew 16, we see Jesus explaining to his disciples how he must go up to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. Peter, the rock, immediately jumps in. Never, Lord. This is never going to happen to you. And in return, Peter receives perhaps the sternest rebuke that Jesus ever delivers to one of his disciples. Get behind me, Satan. Within just a few short verses, Peter gets it so right and then so wrong. Why such a difference? We can find the clues in the text. Here, at the beginning of the narrative, we're told that Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. And this we know to be a non-Jewish area north of the Sea of Galilee. And it was a region well known to be pagan and devoid of any faith in Yahweh. And it's this which is the setting for Peter's insightful declaration of faith. No doubt some of the other disciples were starting to think this. But the typically impulsive and pioneer Peter was the first to express it. You, Lord, are not just the reincarnation of John the Baptist's spirit, or the spirit of Elijah, or some other great prophet. You are the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, and the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? This was not revealed to you by man. It's, in other words, not human, secular understanding, the sort of thing that you might have expected in a region like Caesarea Philippi. This was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. It's the work of God, the Holy Spirit revealing the truth to Peter. He is looking at Jesus now with the eyes of faith. So contrast this when Peter gets it wrong. What does Jesus say? Not just get behind me, Satan, but he says, you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. So if before Peter was the rock on which to build, here he's the rock to stumble over. This time Peter is looking at the situation not with the eyes of faith, but with secular human eyes, wanting things his way and not God's way. It seems to me that this is a challenge which we all face all the time. How do we see with the eyes of faith? How do we allow God to open the eyes of our hearts, as the songwriter puts it. And Paul is saying a similar thing in our reading from Romans this morning, Romans 12 in verse 2. How can we no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be renewed by the renewing of our mind? Then, it says, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. This is clearly not easy. Remember, Peter walked daily with Jesus and he still gets it right one day and yet so wrong the next. A pattern we see Peter demonstrating all the time throughout the Gospels, not least when he denies Jesus three times after his arrest. This, I think, is a helpful reminder not to beat ourselves up when we get it wrong. We're all a work in progress. None of us the finished article. But it's not easy. And if it's not easy, I don't think the way we can learn to see through the eyes of Jesus is that complicated. It's about spending more time with God. More time getting to know him and to trust him as we read his living word in the Bible. More time talking to him and listening to him in prayer. More time learning together in small groups and in our worship services. And more time opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Quite simply, spending more time with Jesus. Learning to look more and more with the eyes of faith and not with the eyes of the world. As I've talked to people over the last weeks and months of this awful COVID pandemic, it has been possible to see God moving powerfully in the midst of us all. And so often I've heard people say that they've been reading their Bibles more, using prayer guides and study notes prepared by their churches during the week, and praying more at home and prayer walking. And they've loved it. Perhaps it's because they haven't been able to follow their usual routine or to rely too heavily on the Sunday service. And so many people who I have talked to have said how much this has helped them to grow in their faith. The challenge today is to see the things like Peter did through the eyes of faith. And when we get back to normal, whatever that normal is, the challenge is not to lose the good things which we've been doing. Not reverting back to our old patterns of less, but continuing to seek more. More of God's word, more prayer, more of his Holy Spirit directing our lives. And not conforming to the pattern of this world, but allowing God to shape us. As that ancient prayer of Richard, Bishop of Chichester, so memorably put it, if we do this, we might seek to know Jesus more clearly, to love him more dearly, and to follow him more nearly, day by day. Amen.
Of my heart, I want to see. Pray for the Grace Food Bank. We thank you for the volunteers that give their time and resources to collect food, sort it and deliver it. We thank you for their dedication and love and compassion they show to those that they serve. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, more widely we pray for all the active food banks across the country, support those in need, particularly families that are struggling to provide food for their children through the summer holiday. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we thank you for all the other local charities that work in our local area, those that are determined to bring joy and hope to the lives of others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray for those suffering from illness at this time, either mentally or physically, bring them peace and comfort. We also pray for those caring for them, bring them patience and understanding. At this time, we pray for workers in the NHS and other health professionals working in hospitals and care homes as they look after those entrusted to them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Michelle. Sorry for those of you who may have struggled to hear that. The volume was quite low on that file and there's no way of increasing it. So I hope you are able to hear those great prayers from Michelle. We're going to conclude our intercessions with the Lord's Prayer. So let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are now coming to the end of our service. Just to remind children, particularly if you've been working along with your self-portraits and your images, then please, please, please do send them in. Adults, don't think that you are exempt from that. Please do, if you want to spend some time during this week, perhaps, just thinking about it and drawing it and having a go yourself at drawing a self-portrait and putting around it the images that you want to reflect into the world and writing underneath, I am an image of God, then please do so and do send photos in. I would love to see your work as well as the children's, so don't think that you get away with it that easily. Some notices just to leave you with. First of all, just to say, for those of you who weren't here last week, who didn't see the notices last week, I am currently taking some time off. I'm doing a really good job. No, I said that I would be stepping back from public ministry, apart from leading public worship. So Sundays are my work day. But for the rest of the time, I am thinking and praying and listening to God and studying and trying to rediscover who it is that God wants me to be at this time for St. Peter's. So thank you to all of you who have been praying. Please do continue to pray. For those of you who haven't, maybe you'd like to start, please. I'd really appreciate your prayers. I want to stress and really want to emphasize this for those of you who are concerned. The prayer is not to find a way for me to leave St. Peter's. So I just want you to pause thinking about that for a moment. It is not about that. It's about me trying to work out how I best serve St. Peter's in the next season. So please don't worry about that. Some people there's been some grumblings about that. That is not what's going on. It is just that I am tired and exhausted at the moment and I'm needing to try and rediscover what it is and how best I serve you as a community, as your priest and vicar. So I've got another week of that and I will start back at work beginning of September. So the last week of August, I mean, it's holiday anyway for many people, so you might not be aware that I've been taking some time off, but I have been. Please do avoid getting in contact with me, and please do... I've forgotten to put Michelle's email address like I did last time. If you have any pastoral concerns or needs and you would like to talk to someone, then Michelle is the person to speak to. Her email address is michelle@stpeters.co. That's michelle at St. Peter's, SaintPeters.co. That's why last week I had her email address, so I didn't have to spell it out for everyone. But please do contact her if you have any pastoral needs, and she will be able to support you in that way. She's very good like that. So that's the first notice. The second notice is that over this last week, we have heard from the diocese about our annual meeting, which usually takes place in April, May time. But obviously, due to COVID-19, we weren't able to do that. Well, the PCC are going to be meeting in a couple of weeks' time, and we will be discussing how we will do our annual meeting. This will be partly online, but it will need to be also in person. So now that we are beginning to be able to gather in larger numbers, we are going to be trying to work out a way in which we do our annual meeting and make it available for as many people as possible, and for you to have your say in that meeting. So it looks probable that we will do it over Zoom and also at the same time on Facebook, so that people can watch in and comment on it and pass votes if they need to. The annual meeting is a great opportunity to reflect back on the previous year and to look ahead to the coming year. It's a great opportunity for you to have your say and to be heard and your opinion heard about how St. Peter's is being led and governed. So it's a really important meeting. It is also the meeting where we vote in representation onto the PCC, the Parish Church Council, Parochial Church Council. Some people's time has been extended, especially over the COVID-19, because they would have been their time would have elapsed in April and May, but it will now elapse at the next annual meeting. And so there will be opportunities for other people to step into those roles if you so desire. And this sort of goes back to our sermon today, that quite often if one is asked, do you want to sit on PCC? The answer is no, I don't. I don't think I'm the right person for that. So I'm going to change it up this year, and I'm going to ask not, do you think you're being called to sit on the PCC? Although I still want you to think about that. But I want you to think, who do you think should sit on the PCC in our church? That means that the emphasis is not on someone saying, I want to be on the PCC, but it's actually other people saying to another person, I think you should be on the PCC, because I think we're really bad judges of our own character. Back to the sermon. So I want to ask you, who do you think should be on the PCC? Have a think about that and then send me that information. And also send it to the person that you think of, okay? Even if they're already on the PCC, it would be good to encourage them to say, I'm really glad that you're on the PCC, but do send me nominations for that. I think this will be a better way of getting people, the right people, onto the PCC. And if you are, if you receive an email or correspondence or communication from someone to say, or from me perhaps, to say someone has said that you'd be good on the PCC, don't dismiss it out of hand. So in the coming weeks, you may well receive some nomination, some suggestion that you should sit on the PCC. And I would take that very seriously if I were you. Part of, going back to my other notice, part of the thing that I've already discovered over my time reflecting on what God wants of me is listening to those people that I trust, those people that have known me for years and years and years, have seen me in lots of different contexts, to ask them what it is that God wants of me And I have been reflecting on those words. I've kept a journal over the years of what people have said about me. And it's amazing going back over them, reminding myself of those words spoken prophetically over me. You know, those things that people have seen in me that I never saw. The things that God saw in me that I didn't see, and that he has grown in me and has shown in me. So I would challenge you to think about that for another person, and then when you receive it from that other person, to reflect on it seriously. So that's PCC and the annual meeting, which will come up when the PCC decide what date that will be. And it will be on a Sunday, and it will be in place of this service and indeed of our in-person worship as well. So it'll be at 10:15, I believe, and we will do that, and then extend it into a time of worship afterwards. I think that's it. If there are any other notices, please do look at the comments section. I'm pointing down because usually it's below, but sometimes it's to the side, whichever side it is. Look at the comments section wherever that is, and indeed keep your eyes open on the website for any important information. We're going to go to our final song now, In Christ Alone, as we finish our worship time and head into the next week.
So, a final blessing as we go on our way. May God, who in Christ gives us a spring of water welling up to eternal life, perfect in you the image of his glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us all and remain with us now and always. Amen. Go into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Love without borders. Share without fear. Seek with passion. Pray without ceasing. Go to love and serve the Lord. As family, we go to love, witness, and grow for God's glory in our world. Amen. Have a good rest of your Sunday. Have a good week. And peace be with you.